This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
It's now your responsibility in terms of questions to keep us on line with the programme. We have until 11:15, and I'm not letting you go before. So I would like, because we will have, so that we can pick up on the TV, it is important that speakers speak into the microphone. They're all starting to shirk now. But I do require people, please, to stand and speak into the microphone. 15 minutes of fame. And it does mean I would like to try and identify two or three people at a time so we can work to get microphones to two people as one person is speaking. So, who are the first two or three souls? There's a lady towards the back, middle there. And the lady at the front, thank you. And a third. If you wouldn't mind standing and just saying briefly who you are, where you're from, and then your question, please. Lady.
Okay, I'm Sarah Lambert. I'm Head of Early Years and Childcare for Blackpool Local Authority, and I have two questions. My first one is to David. I was reading with interest the Education Act last night, and I was really pleased to see that local authorities are going to have access to the DWP information for the criteria on which to set two-year-old grants for two-year-olds. But my question is, will local authorities be able to set their own local criteria as well?
Thank you. And the second question, do you want to take this at the same time?
Yeah, the second one is to Jean. I was really interested to hear that you were saying that Ofsted regularly visit inadequate settings because that's really not our experience. We had a setting who was given an inadequate Ofsted for the second time in September. And despite an inordinate amount of support and help from the local authority, we felt just before Christmas that things hadn't improved. I contacted Ofsted and asked them if they would bring forward their inspection, and I was told it would be April or May this year, which is not good enough for us. We wanted it to be a lot quicker. And Ofsted haven't been near that setting since the September inadequate.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. I think that's a really good question. We are, ministers are committed to consulting publicly on what the precise definition of disadvantage we use for the two-year-old offer. The broad aim is to reach roughly the 20% most disadvantaged families in the country, or the 20% most disadvantaged two-year-olds in the country, which will equate to roughly 130,000 two-year-olds. The definition's likely to be set out in regulations, which we'll need to consult on formally, I would think, in 2012, as long as Parliament agrees to the clause in the bill. My instinct, for what it's worth, and it would be wrong for me to preempt the consultation, is that there are strong arguments for looking at the sort of free school meals as the principal eligibility criterion for two-year-olds, but that we hope that once those sort of minimum in addition to the sort of minimum eligibility criteria, that there might well be some scope for local authority discretion beyond that. But it's principally an economic, I mean, the policy intention behind it is that it's principally an economic indicator of disadvantage.
It currently is. There is that economic indicator, which actually is the key to open the door. But beyond that, we've set our own local criteria because we're not been allocated enough places to give everybody that has the key to open the first door. So we've had to set our own criteria within that. And we were one of the pilot authorities, so we've been doing it for quite a long time now.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And I understand that's been the approach we've taken to the pilots, because each local authority in the country has only been able to deliver a fairly limited number of places. So it's obviously been important. We couldn't set sort of like firm eligibility criteria from the centre saying all children in this sort of position must get a place when local authorities have only been offering 20,000 places nationally. So it was absolutely right for the purposes of the pilot to that it should be done on the basis of local discretion. When you're talking about a national entitlement, which is what we're moving towards, we will need to set some firmer eligibility criteria in regulations. But we hope that as long as local authorities are fulfilling their obligations in that regard, that there will be discretion beyond that. If there are particular groups locally, looked after children, children with disabilities, for instance, that local authorities particularly want to work with.
Thank you. Anand, is there anything you want to add on this? I'm just looking in terms of any work. Okay, thank you. And now back to Sarah's other question. Jean.
Sarah, can I start by saying congratulations, because Blackpool is one of those areas where there are high levels of deprivation and the early years there does do extremely well. So I think the work in your local authority is certainly a beacon across the country. In terms of visiting settings, we do try to visit settings that are inadequate. It depends on the degree of inadequacy and the difficulties that they've faced. We try to draw a balance between giving the local authority enough time to support and bring about improvements, because obviously that's their role, and intervening. And trying to get that balance right can be quite difficult. But if you do have concerns about that setting, if you and I meet afterwards and you give me the detailed information, I'll follow up and get back to you personally on that.
Okay. Thank you. While I invite the lady here to speak, is there anybody else where we should locate microphones? Yes, please. Thank you. So if I can invite you to stand, introduce yourself and ask your question, and if we can have microphones to the other two, please.
Hello, I'm Sue Chambers, Early Learning Advisor for Wokingham. I'd like to ask Jean a question. We would have hoped after the Plymouth Review that Ofsted would be consulting with and paying attention to the inspection, to the visit reports that the early learning advisors carry out when they go out on their visits. And since the review, several of my settings have been inspected. And not one of the inspectors has not only asked, not asked to see the reports, they actually have said they don't want to see them. And I'm sure that other colleagues working in local authorities have some concerns that we have settings that we have categorised as high-level support, and Ofsted have come in and actually given a good. And we would really appreciate knowing that in future Ofsted and the local authority advisors will actually work together.
Over to that one. That is of an interesting point. Jean, please.
Thanks very much, Sue. It is a good point to raise. We are very conscious that local authorities have a slightly different but extremely important role in terms of quality. I think one of the difficulties we have currently is that we tend to focus on slightly different things. Inspectors are in a setting for a very short period of time. You're looking at the long-term improvement and the development. We've been working quite hard behind the scenes with the department to try and find a way to engage on a very formal way with local authorities. That work is fairly well advanced, but obviously we've got to wait now for some of the reviews that are imminent, particularly the Tickell review, before we can actually take any action. Also, like local authorities, we're looking at a time of economic change, so we've got to try and look at our own inspection systems and processes. But I can tell you that it's very high on our agenda. It's extremely important that we take account of all the evidence that's available and that we do work together.
Thank you. It was the lady just here, please.
Hello, I'm Frances Rehel. I'm the Children's Centre Development Manager for Kent County Council. My question is about the changes that are taking place in terms of Ofsted in schools. There is no longer a requirement, as I understand, to have a self-evaluation, and there are going to be four areas that Ofsted will actually concentrate on. Is that indication as to where we're heading for early years? I'd just like to know what the plan is. And my second question is for the representative from the department about the localism agenda and how the department sees this panning out in terms of children's centres.
Thank you. I'll take the Ofsted point first. And
okay. Yes, thank you. Frances, thanks very much for raising the questions. It gives me an opportunity just to reinforce that it's the self-evaluation form that is no longer required. Self-evaluation is. Self-evaluation is part of statute. Schools are required by law to evaluate. All that the government has said is that they do not need to use a specific Ofsted form to do that. So from the work that we've been doing, we've been asked to stop providing the self-evaluation form online for schools, to take that service away. But we do expect a self-evaluation to be available when inspections are carried out. And that will be exactly the same for early years. If there isn't a form, clearly self-evaluation is a very important part of improvement, so we will want to see self-evaluation and evidence of that. You've asked whether early years will go in the same direction as schools in terms of outstanding settings not being inspected. The very honest answer to that is I don't know. At the moment, there are lots of options that are being discussed with the department. We are very much waiting for the outcomes of the Tekel review before any decisions are made about inspection. There are also lots of other factors, because there are early years in schools, early years provision in schools, so we do have to make sure that our inspections are coherent across the piece. I think it's early days for us yet, and probably David will know better, but I would have thought perhaps by the end of March we would be a little bit clearer about some of the things that will be emerging for early years.
Thank you, Jane. I'll invite David to comment on the issue between localism and universal. And then it's a lady towards the back, is that correct? Thank you. David.
Well, thanks, Francis. It's kind of a big question to tackle in a short reply. By and large, the way I see it working is that the statutory duty on local authorities to ensure that they offer universal coverage for children's centres will remain in place. But it's that what will disappear is a lot of the prescription around how local authorities fulfil that duty. The government thinks it's best for local authorities to make local decisions based on local need. So we've already had a good example of how, of the direction of travel. There was a formal requirement on Sure Start Children's Centres to offer full daycare provision. Some Sure Start Children's Centres, for some Sure Start Children's Centres, particularly some in disadvantaged areas, that was a real problem, because actually there wasn't the demand for that full daycare provision. They were still having to offer it, because the government told them they had to. And the resources that were being spent on that full daycare provision could perhaps have been spent on other important services for which there was demand locally. So that's a good example of how relaxing some of those rules will enable Sure Start Children's Centre managers to respond to local needs more effectively.
Thank you, David. I know Annan wanted to come in, and then we'll take one more question from the lady at the back. Just Annan first.
Sorry, could I just come back on Francis's question as well in terms of localism and child development? Because I think that was a kind of really gets to the nub of the matter. And I find myself having kind of mixed views on this. On the one hand, I'm all in favour of devolving as much authority and power downwards as possible to local authorities and to settings to make decisions based on local needs. I suppose where I have some concerns, and we have to see how this localism agenda will pan out, is that, we're all aware that there are certain groups of people who are more effective at advocating for their own interests than others. And while it would be great if decisions locally were based on local need rather than who's got the loudest voice, that's for me the key question. And there are some concerns that have been raised to me already about kind of provision of special needs, about the provision in disadvantaged areas up against, if you like, slightly more articulate, slightly more polished middle class groups. And this is something that we're going to have to watch with.
Thank you, Anna. I'll cut you short there if you don't mind. Just time for quickly for one more, please.
Hi, my name is Tracy Clark. I work for Merton Early Years Childcare and Children's Centres. And I wanted to also bring up about the Plymouth Serious Case Review with Jean. And it's around the safeguarding issues, really. At the moment, we know that since the inspections moved over to tribal, that they're only allowed to spend a very short period of time in the settings. We've had some settings where the inspector's literally only there for 3 hours, and it seems like they're not really uncovering everything in terms of safeguarding, and I really am very concerned about safeguarding. Just recently, we had a setting which Ofsted made satisfactory, and yet they found that there was a member of staff there with no CRB who was changing a child's nappy, and also that the staffing ratios weren't being met and they still got satisfactory. And that's my question.
Thank you. Jean.
Thanks very much. Again, you know, if you wouldn't mind just giving me some very specific examples afterwards, I will follow up. But in terms of any inspection, we have made absolutely no difference to the time that should be spent on inspection. Inspectors should be probably the same inspectors as were inspecting for Ofsted. There are a few new people in there, mostly people from settings that we've trained, outstanding settings that have been trained to become inspectors, but the vast majority of people who've inspected in the past, the expectation that we have is that they inspect exactly in the same way as they did before. No changes have been made. So if you're finding a discrepancy, and that goes to anybody around, I need to know, we need to know, because we do hold our contractors to account on these things.
Thank you. I'll draw the session to a close. I'd like to thank all of our speakers in the first session, please. Thank you all.